I'm Nick Spitzer. This is American Roots. In Kris Kristofferson's early Nashville days of the mid-60s, his songs were, for the most part, ignored. He became a janitor at Columbia Studios. His first week on the job was the second week of Bob Dylan's Blonde on Blonde sessions.
I was the only songwriter in Nashville who was allowed to be at those sessions when he was doing Blonde on Blonde, because, you know, the studios were closed. But they didn't call me the janitor. They called me, I was studio setup man. But imagine, it amounted to cleaning up after everybody had been recording.
Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good.
Well, in those days, in a three-hour session, they expected you to get three songs done. And Bob went in there and sat down at the piano, and the band was all the top musicians in Nashville. They're off playing ping pong and pool, waiting. And he would write all night long. And then around 7 o'clock in the morning, he'd call them in, and they would go in and cut some masterpiece.
Oh, Mama, this could be the end. I'm stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Aside from being the setup man at Columbia Studios, Kris Kristofferson worked as a part-time bartender at the Tally Ho Tavern, and later got a job that took him to the Gulf of Mexico half the time.
It was a blessing for me because I was about to be a father again, and I knew that I had to make more money than I was making as a janitor. So I got the job with Petroleum Helicopters, where I would work a week out in the Gulf on one of the platforms. And then every week I would go back to Nashville and have a week back there to pitch my songs. And then I'd go back down to the Gulf and I'd write out there because I was all by myself, you know.
I mean, out on the oil rig, it's kind of boring at night out there.
Well, yeah, but if you're a songwriter, your head's always working. I wrote some of my best songs out there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Busted flat in Baton Rouge, heading for the trains, feeling nearly faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained, took us all away to New Orleans. I took my harpoon out of
for this new song. Kris gathered a variety of influences, from Federico Fellini's film La Strada, The Road, to the breakup of his marriage, a break into his apartment, and the theft of his remaining possessions. It led him to write Freedom's Another Word for Nothing Left to Lose. It's the only biographical line in Me and Bobby McGee, a song that is co-credited to Fred Foster.
Fred owned Monument Records and Combine Music, which I was writing for. And Fred called me in there into his office and told me he had a song title for me. Felice and Bootalo Bryant, the songwriters, had an office in his building, and their secretary was named Bobby McGee. I thought Fred said McGee. He said, me and Bobby McGee. He said, here's the hook, Bobby McGee is a she. And he says, how does that grab you? I was quite depressed. I thought there was no way in hell I could write a song like that, because I didn't ever write on assignment or every day or whatever. I had to be inspired. But anyway, I wanted to do well. I had just gone to work for him. And so I kind of hid down the Gulf, flying down there for about a month. And it came to me.
Every night she kept me from the cold. Then somewhere near Selena's, Lord, I let her slip away. Looking for the home.
I went into this little studio room that we had at the publishing house there. Billy Swan and I, Billy played an organ and I played the guitar, and we overdubbed and overdubbed and overdubbed. Billy's one of the great human beings, and he's been involved with my life since I started the music stuff, you know. And anyway, I can remember Billy saying, after we'd been up all night overdubbing our voices, and he lying on the floor playing the organ with his hands on the foot pedals. and we listened to it, and he said, God, this is really an amazing, magical thing. He says, it's spiritual. He said, like Hey Jude. I said, I didn't know Hey Jude was spiritual, but that's cool.
The demo Kris Kristofferson recorded with Billy Swan in 1969 at the back of Fred Foster's publishing house, Combine Music. The song would become one of his most well-known compositions. Kris's songs were slowly being picked up by Nashville musicians. Roger Miller made Me and Bobby McGee a country hit in 1969. The same year, Jerry Lee Lewis recorded a tune Kris co-wrote with Shel Silverstein, Once More with Feeling.
We're just going through the motions of the parts we've learned to play. Never quite together like the fools. Oh, somehow, darling, something good got lost along the way. And our song, it ain't nothing special anymore. So try it one more time with feeling, darling. Take it from the top. Let me feel those tears fall. I don't want to miss a single drop. Darling, make a believe you're making me believe each word you say. Try it once more. To touch me, baby, just the way you used to do. You're looking everywhere but in old Jerry's eyes. Well now, honey, that's an oldie and it's a goodie, but them words ain't ringing true, and you don't seem very sure of all of your lines. From the top. Well, then the one is gonna be the big one, honey. They'll give out everything you got. And everything that thing I left to give before we go our separate ways. Dying once more with feeling, and we'll hold it away. Yes, we will, baby.
Why, thank you, Jerry Lee. Once More with Feeling, co-written by Kris Kristofferson and artist and author Shel Silverstein, who had written Johnny Cash as a Boy Named Sue. They are part of the Nashville underground of young songwriters like Billy Swan, Donnie Fritz, Tony Joe White, and Mickey Newberry. They all spent 7 days a week roaring and guitar pulling at bars and apartments.
I was just part of the Nashville songwriter world. That's what all I wanted to be. To me, it was the most exciting thing I could do to actually earn a living that way, although I wasn't able to earn a living right away doing that. And I wasn't the only one who was like that. The beauty of Nashville was that people were doing it for the right reasons. They loved it, and they respected the music, whether they had written it or whether Tom T. Hall had written it or Roger Miller, if it was a great song, that's what they loved.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled through my closet for my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. And I shaved my face and combed my hair and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my brain the night before on cigarettes and songs that I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small kid cussing at a can that he was kicking. Then I crossed the empty street, caught the Sunday smell of someone frying chicken. And it took me back to something that I'd lost somehow, somewhere along the way. On the Sunday morning sidewalks, wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. There's something in a Sunday makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying half as lonesome as the sound on the sleeping city sidewalk. Sunday morning coming down. In the park I saw a daddy with a laughing little girl who he was swinging. And I stopped beside a Sunday school and listened to a song that they were singing. Then I headed back for home, and somewhere far away a lonely bell was ringing. And it echoed through the canyons like the disappearing dreams of yesterday. On the Sunday morning sidewalk, wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. Cause there's something in a Sunday makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying half as lonesome as the sound on the sleeping city sidewalks. Sunday morning coming down.
Kris Kristofferson, Sunday Morning Coming Down, from 1970. Living what he wrote about took a toll on Kris's family life. His wife and kids had left him. His mother, not a country music fan to begin with, wrote him an angry letter that mentioned his heroes Hank Williams and Johnny Cash being drug addicts. And the letter ended up in Johnny Cash's hands, thanks to Jack Clement.
I had read a letter in his office that I had just gotten from my mother disowning me for being a songwriter, and it made him laugh so much that he said, "You gotta let me show that to John."
Now, how are you feeling about the letter?
It's like, well, he was laughing. You know, to me, it was kind of a freedom releasing me of any responsibility to live up to anybody else's expectations, you know. And, yeah, it was painful to break up with your parents, but it didn't last forever.
Right. They begin to realize that you are, after all, their child, so, you know.
Yeah, but my mother said, nobody over the age of 15 listens to that kind of music. If they did, it wouldn't be somebody we want to know. The first time I saw John in a studio, he said, it's always nice to get a letter from home, isn't it, Chris? And we were friends ever since then.
I think I read somewhere that the world of helicoptering and Johnny Cash came together for you, that you flew to his house once with the chopper to drop a song off? Or
yeah, I did that. I had already known them for years, all the years I was his janitor there. I pitched him every song I ever wrote. You know, he knew who I was then. But I was briefly in the National Guard, and I figured that would be a nice way to take a song to him, a tape. And so I flew out and landed at his house. It was like...
This is the lake house, I assume.
The lake house, yeah. And I almost landed on his roof because the lawn used to go out over the top of the second floor. But anyway, he wasn't even there. Later on, he had some story about me getting out of the helicopter with a beer in one hand and tape in the other and coming down there. I said, John, you got to use both feet and both hands to fly a helicopter. There's no way I could have done it.
Friend, concerning your new song, just like you asked, I listened to your song, and though I feel it's kind of long and maybe a line or two is wrong, and some lines don't belong, like you asked, I listened to your song. It was wintertime in Nashville, down on Music Row, and I was looking for a place to get myself out of the cold, to warm the frozen feeling that was eating at my soul, and keep the chilly wind off me and my guitar. Well, my thirsty wanted whiskey, and my hungry needed beans, but it had been a month of paydays since I'd heard that eagle scream. So with a stomach full of empty and a pocket full of dreams, I left my pride and stepped inside a bar. Actually, I guess you'd call it a tavern. Cigarette smoke to the ceiling, sawdust on the floor, friendly shadows. Well, I saw that there was just one old man that was sitting at the bar. And in the mirror I could see him checking me and my guitar. And he turned and he said, come up here, boy, and show us what you are. I said, I'm dry. He bought me a beer. Then he nodded at my guitar and he said, it's a tough life, ain't it? I just looked at him and he said, you ain't making any money, are you? I said, you've been reading my mail. He just smiled and said, let me see that guitar. I got something you ought to hear. Then he laid it on my ear.
If you waste your time a-talking to the people who don't listen to the things that you are saying, who do you think's gonna hear?
And if you should die explaining how the things that they complain about are things they could be changing, who do you think's gonna care?
There were other lonely singers in a world turned deaf and blind, who were crucified for what they tried to show. And their voices have been scattered by the swirling winds of time, for the truth remains that no one wants to know. Well, the old man was a stranger, but I'd heard his song before, back when failure had me locked out on the wrong side of the door. When no one stood behind me but my shadow on the floor, and lonesome was more than a state of mind. You see, the devil haunts the hungry man. And if you don't want to join him, well, you gotta beat him. I ain't saying I beat the devil, but I drank his beer for nothing. And then I stole his song.
And you still can hear me singing to the people who don't listen to the things that I am saying, praying someone's gonna hear. And I guess I'll die explaining how the things that they complain about are things they could be changing, hoping someone's gonna care. I was born a lonely singer, and I'm bound to die the same. But I've gotta feed the hunger in my soul. And if I never have a nickel, I won't ever die ashamed, 'cause I don't believe that no one wants to know.
Johnny Cash, To Beat the Devil, the first Kris Kristofferson song Cash recorded. It was dedicated to him and wife June Carter. Just days after, Cash brought Kristofferson on the main stage during his set at the Newport Folk Festival 1969. And that led to a front page write-up in the New York Times, more offers to play other folk festivals, and an opening slot for Linda Ronstadt in California. More songs and stories from the life arc of Kris Kristofferson when American Roots returns.